Live from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, motivational speaker and coach, Chappelle Burton.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guest, Alexa Mello. I am Mark Legere, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
You know, the master of change thing always gets me because every time I hear that, I think, well, what about that time? And today was one of those times. So I turned into my father. I stepped into, I went to see a friend of mine, and she, when I got there, she said, here, I want you to see this, this meditation. It's so cool. And I hadn't even gotten to the computer screen yet, and she turned it on, and the music started, and I immediately recognized the music. I recognized it, for me, as The Dying Swan. And I knew the piece very well. I'd heard it over and over again. I had seen ballets of The Dying Swan. And it wasn't actually something, the music is beautiful, but it wasn't actually something I was very fond of. And so I had this picture of this dying swan over and over in my head. And I hadn't even gotten to the screen yet. And I said, you know what? It's okay, really. She's like, no, you have to see this. You will love it. And I said, I hate it already because I'm picturing this dying swan and this ballet and you know, an evening or two or three that I didn't enjoy. And I'm done. And she's like, wow, you're, you know, okay, be that way. And you know, on the screen might have been the most incredible meditation and images and all of that. But just the music alone, which is a big deal. Music's a big deal. But that alone just kept me from even... And as I left her, I thought, that's what my father used to do to me all the time. I used to say, oh, I just learned a new song on the piano. And he'd say, oh, that reminds me when I was a kid. No, don't play that one. And then I'd sing a song and he'd come in the room, he's like, can you sing another song or can you play another song on your record player? That one just reminds me of. And I'm thinking, why can't you just change your memories? Now, I was thinking today, why can't I just change my memories? Now, my father actually had a really good excuse because at times when some of this stuff was playing, like the Italian songs that I would sing, there would be bombs dropping outside during World War II, and they'd have to leave the town and go into caves and hide and not have food to eat, et cetera, or a bed to sleep in and all that stuff. So my dad had excuses that were really, really good. And I wanted him to change his idea of the songs, like give the song a chance. And here, I mean, this meditation was potentially right in front of me, but all I could think of was this dying swan. And so it's funny because after all this thing, I sat down to go over the notes for today. And what's the first thing I read? Of course, our guest, Chappelle Burton, his book, How to Choose Happiness. I thought, oh, perfect. Tonight, we're going to talk about how to choose the meditation instead of the dying swan. And so perhaps we could learn how to do this together when we get back with our guest, Chappelle Burton, right after this.
True performance takes more than just working out. Every day we demand more from our body. But what does your body demand? Hunger is not your body's call for empty calories. It's your body asking for nutrients it's lacking. It's time to reward your body with Boku Superfood, made from the world's finest organic ingredients, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and essential trace nutrients, all developed naturally and organically from nature's most nutrient-dense foods. Boku Superfood is quite possibly the best thing you can feed your body. So listen to your body. Reward it with pure, raw, beautiful food. Boku Superfood.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sharon Stone, and Alex Gray on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Or you can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
You know what's interesting, Mark, is to add insult to injury, I actually had to look up the piece. It wasn't actually even written as a dying swan. It was just written as the swan. Somebody just happened to dance it as the dying swan, and then that became a thing. And so that's how I came to know it as the dying swan. But originally, it was the swan. It was for kids. It was a beautiful thing. Or so I have, you know, poor swan.
Breathe. You know, maybe we can start, before you start choosing happiness, to find or take today as the opportunity to choose gratitude for your father, because without him and without this story, you probably wouldn't have ended up where you are now as the master of change.
Oh, you know, I have great gratitude for him, and you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. He taught me a great deal, and he's still teaching me today. So thank you. So with that, speaking of teaching, it's interesting how I wrote up on Facebook. It's like, you know, who has, of all the things to teach, who has the right to say, choose happiness? I mean, you know, kind of like the dying swan thing, or like my father with the bombs, like, you don't know my story. I have a right to hate the dying swan and to wear my misery on my lapel like a medal. And people feel
people
that
do.
Way.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And so then I of course I knew his story, but then I was reviewing it today and I thought, and I wrote this on Facebook. I'm like, yeah, right. Well, this man saw his or witnessed a tragic murder of his stepfather and mother while he was playing on the playground as a kid. And he ends up writing a book, How to Choose Happiness. And I actually wrote at the end of that post, I'm listening. And so I'm listening to our guest, Chappelle Burton, who is a motivational speaker and a coach and an author of How to Choose Happiness. Welcome to our show.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. I'm really, really happy to be here.
Well, I'm happy that you're happy. And since happiness is the subject matter, that's really perfect. I'm happy that you're relaxed. Look at you. You're
right.
All like,
right? After you hear that intro and then you look at that smile.
She's like, hey,
wow. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that's right. Why not? It's a comfortable purple couch. It's wonderful. One of my favorite colors.
Shh, yes. Nobody knows it's purple.
Oh, it's my favorite color.
That's great. It's great.
Love it.
No, seriously, I don't want to start with that story, but I think we're gonna.
Fair enough. Well, before we even start that, I want to say I'm grateful for a supportive system. My wife and my kids, I want to say a shout out to them, to Sebastian, Rulani, and Erica, if they're listening at home. I want to say that first, because without our supportive people around us, I mean, that's something that really helps us to give us happiness, if we so choose to. But I'll go back to that story, because that's the basis of where it comes from. When I was 8 years old, I was on a playground with my mother, my stepfather, and my kid, my sisters. And I was walking up, I was going up a slide. It was just a beautiful sunny day. And I was going up the slide, playing on the playground. I was going up the slide and I heard this pop, pop, pop sound in the background. And when I heard the sound, I was in Chicago and I thought it was firecrackers, because, you know, you hear that type of thing, or you hear shooting, but you look around, you see that you're safe, and you just continue to do what you're doing. As a kid, you continue to play.
Okay.
But when I got down to the bottom of the slide, I looked up, and there was a guy about 15 feet away from me, and he was holding a gun, a machine gun. It was a M16, guns they use in the Vietnam War.
Wow.
So 15 feet in front of me. And he stood there, and he's looking at me, and I look at him, and we make eye contact, and I freeze. I just got to the bottom of the slide, and I freeze. And my stepfather at the moment, he was about on this side, can't see me on the radio, but he was about to the right, about another 25 feet to the right of me. And he saw the guy with the gun as well. But he was on this ladder fixing the swing, and he jumped off the ladder, grabbed the ladder, and he tried to charge the guy to kind of protect himself because he saw what was going down here. And then the guy, and I'm standing there watching this, he shoots my stepfather 1, 2, 3, right in the chest, and he point blank range. My father, stepfather drops and falls straight down into the ground. And I'm standing there watching this. And then the guy slowly takes the gun. He doesn't kill anyone else. He walks away and goes about his business, goes across the street, sits on his porch, and puts the gun on his lap. And so,
wow.
Yeah. And so I'm sitting there, and at first it was a very, very interesting experience because, you know, I can still see it as I'm sitting here talking to you now.
Yeah.
I remember seeing my stepfather, and as he fell in that pool of blood, I was actually relieved because I was abused physically by my stepfather.
Oh, wow.
And so that was like, I knew at that moment the abuse had ended, the physical abuse. And I mean really physically abused to the point of blood. And I knew that that had ended at that particular moment. But then when it got got really sad for me, when I realized the first three pops I heard was my mom being killed.
Oh, wow.
When I was going up the slide, pop, 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 that's when my mom had gotten killed. And then it was pandemonium for a few moments. And when I say that, it was just like, it's me and my sisters and my stepsister. And, you know, here we are without parents and we didn't know what to do or where to go. It's like a movie, you know, it's like, this doesn't happen, but it does.
You can't script this.
Yeah.
script it. That's unbelievable. The amount of emotions. 8 years old,
you know, and we didn't know what to do. So we gathered together as, you know, and we started walking around asking people to help us. Can you help us? Our parents were just killed. Wow. And they were, and people were running from us because, you know, there were other kids. And, you know, how do you deal with something like that?
Well, and there's got to be a story potentially of why they got killed. So they didn't want to be caught in the crossfire, probably.
Well, the story of why my parents got killed was something that was just kind of like one of those weird things where this guy who lived across the street from the field house where my stepfather worked, he ran this field house, and this guy had shot his wife about a year before that, and she ran across the street, and she didn't die. She ran across the street, and they let her in as for safety. And she, of course, she left him, never pressed charges. She went away and never came back. And so a year later or so and so forth, he came back and killed my parents.
Holding a grudge.
For protecting. Wow.
Isn't that something? Yeah. Wow. So that's the beginning. That's where it happened. And it wasn't, you know, I didn't go from that to, you know, choosing happiness. You know, I went through a lot of, you know, soul searching as an 8 year old, and not even that. Soul searching is not even the right term at 8 year olds. It's more of disbelief. It's more of living in not even a real world because you're like, how can God take my parents from me? How does that happen? And going through all those things. So it wasn't as simple as it may sound. You know, this was years and years of work in progress.
I have a 7-year-old son, and I can't even comprehend just knowing the things that we communicate about and how he's trying to find his own way. But to have that, what you just shared, the conflux, the juxtaposition of emotions, I mean, I applaud you for being here in the space that you are in, whatever the journey. Unbelievable.
Thank you.
And for sharing it. It's interesting because we've spent some time together and the energy has just been up and fun and all that. And you say that as you're sharing it, it's as if you were there. It's like, yeah, I can't imagine.
Yeah.
Before we take a break real quickly, I'm just wondering, has any of your work included like going to that time and actually trying to think for yourself as an 8-year-old child and plant a stronger or I don't even know how to phrase it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, plant a hope or.
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. Like go and relive in my childhood in another way. No, I don't. I have a real reality-based life. I mean, this really did happen and happens to many people. And part of my story and my journey is that things can happen to you and you can still live a relatively productive and sane life. That's part of what the How to Choose Happiness is. It's about my journey of how I got to this place. But I didn't go back that way. I mean, I'll tell you, one of the most challenging things was actually writing the book. And that was, my wife helped me really through that a lot because when I had to write that section, writing all the other stuff, but when I had to write that section, even right now, you can see me tearing up.
Sure.
I mean, writing that section was, because I had to really relive it, and she really helped me to work through. That was a very cathartic experience, to use a term. It really, really helped me to really clear some things by actually going back and rewriting it and reliving it that way. So maybe that's
interesting. Yeah. And you had your wife there, the support and the love
through the whole thing.
Wow. You know, actually you mentioned, look at this. You mentioned your wife at the beginning of the show, and your two kids. Yeah. And I know you've been together.
15 years.
We've been married for 10 years. Look at this, and you're a prominent member in the community. As I wrote on Facebook, from the people that know you, there's one of the happiest guys I know, here you are.
It deserves another shout out, Erica.
Erica, thank you. Yes, Erica, I love you and I appreciate you and I'm so grateful we're on this journey together.
Well, I can't wait to meet her and the kids. And in the meantime, we have to take a quick break. But my heart's like beating. You know, I mean, it's just like, and yeah, I mean, we're all sitting here kind of emotional with you, and yet it's so far from the reality that at least I grew up with, and so thank you for bringing it in such a real way, and you're right, this happens, and so let's talk about, for the people that does, when we come back, what some of the steps are. I think some of them are outlined in the book very nicely and all that. So we'll talk about that a little later on. I mean, she's only 20 years old now, but at 14, she experienced some things that seemed like it was amazing. And then only to find out it wasn't quite what she thought. And years later, after many fights and legal battles and all that, she is out and free. And now she can sing. And she has just released her new CD. And so she's here to perform a couple pieces with us. And it's Alexa Mello. And what a talent she is. So all this when we come back here on the Life Changes Show right after this.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up. A second grader named Chandler said, I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life. And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, this is a great story. Bravo, Shadow. The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at LifeChangesNetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
Well, motivational speaker, author, and coach, I can certainly see the motivational part. I mean, he's got my attention. And I have a feeling he's going to take me out of this space and put me into a whole other space real soon here. God, I hope so. thank you, Chappelle, for sharing as you have. I have to ask you before we get on to the meat, the nuts and bolts, what makes you smile?
Oh man, that's such a waking up. Mm. You know, waking up. It's like I have a different appreciation for life because of some of the things I've gone. Mm. You know, I say live and love fully, you know. Mm. Me and my wife, we don't leave each other without saying goodbye or giving each other a hug or a kiss or saying I love you. Seeing my kids smile, I mean, that makes me smile. Mm. You know, sitting right here, sharing with you and seeing that my story is affecting you and hopefully affecting others out there, that makes me smile. It makes me feel really good that, you know, I have a purpose in life and here I am living it, even though I had to go through these things. But I've had so many supportive people in my life, starting with my grandmother who took us in, God bless her soul. Mm. Starting with my sister, Shai, who's been such a wonderful supportive, supportive person in my life. And then, of course, again, back to my friends, my family, my fraternity brothers. That's the things that make me smile. It's like some of the simple things that a lot of us would take for granted, you know, sitting and having a good conversation with a friend, you know, that makes me smile because that's what's important. As I get older, I just realize it's relationships.
You got a shout out to C. Russell right now.
C. Russell.
Thank you guys.
Slippy Rock. Yeah, you know.
Talk about making me smile. I mean, you guys have known each other for a little bit now, but when you all found out today in the studio that you went to neighboring...
I'm a Pitt grad. He's a Slippery Rock grad. And
they're neighboring universities.
They're neighboring universities. Yeah. I pledged a fraternity, Omega Psi Phi, and we found out we have a friend in common. His name is C. Russell. So Mark wanted to give him a shout out. So I hope C's...
We've probably got a few more friends in common.
A lot more friends.
Yeah, but was it his name? I think it was his name. Yeah. When his name came, you jumped out of your chair and you ran across the room, back. And
he's a great guy. And it's just that I knew. I said, well, if you went to The Rock, then you know C. Russell. I just knew
especially out here in the West Coast. I mean, obviously he's from Chicago.
Chicago. You know, actually, we've had obviously now many people on the show, and happily so, and some really brilliant people and some very famous people, and everybody that has posted on Facebook on their own pages and all that has gotten some great numbers and great comments, but I have never seen comments and as many as the ones for you. And people, I mean, you, how do I say this? Because I want to say it differently. You make people resonate in a way that they're feeling something.
Yeah, you affect people.
Yes. Thank you. In a good way.
You know, I say, you know, there's a plan. God, the universe of oneness has a plan, you know, and we are all who we are. It's like, I think we're all connected, you know, and some of us are more in tune to that than others. You know, I feel like some of these things that have happened to me it's a blessing, even though it may not look like it. It's a blessing.
It's interesting. I just learned the other day that they say that it's age 8 that you step into your personal will. And what an interesting time to have experienced what you did and now where you are in your story.
Yeah, it was, you know, I remember when that happened, and I remember sitting in the back after the funeral, and I remember sitting in the back of the limousine or the car coming from the funeral, and I remember everyone was coming in and coming into the back of the car and, you know, wishing me well, and I remember them saying to me, you have to be the man of the family now, and and this type of stuff, and I was 8, and even right now, you can, I mean, it's just still emotional. I was like, I'm 8, what? I have to be the man of the family?
Putting that on the child on top of everything else.
At 8?
Yeah.
What?
That's crazy.
And I remember that, and everyone means well and so on and so forth. But even right now, that's still, just amazing. People, they mean well, but you don't realize what you're saying. And I'm just like, man of the child. I'm like, my parents were just, what are you talking about? I don't, huh? You know, I'm trying to figure out what just happened. I still didn't know what had happened there. I hadn't figured it all out, even at that age. It's just like, I still thought my mom was going to come back. You know, I remember she came to me in a dream once, and it was the best. It was the most wonderful thing. And I remember clearly she came to me in a dream and it was like, you know, everything's going to be okay. And I was just like, oh my God, that was like the worst. And then I woke up and she wasn't there. And I was just like, oh my God, she's never coming back.
Well, she's here with us now.
Thank you, brother. You know, it's everything, the way this thing works is that, you know, I know it's happened for a reason, you know, because I wouldn't be sitting here right now sharing. I wouldn't be, it was meant to happen for me. I know that sounds crazy. I've forgiven the person who did it. And I was telling my wife the other day, I'm 46 years old and I just recently have forgiven my stepfather for the abuse at 46. I mean, I'm 46 and this is like, I was talking to the other day, I said, wow, this life is really interesting. Here I am, I'm 46 years old, and I'd forgiven the guy a long time ago, but I realized I was holding on to some grudges from my stepfather. And I started to realize he's human too. And there's a lot of good things that I did get from him. I mean, I realized there's things I'm grateful for. This guy, he was a martial artist, he was a warrior. I mean, he ran a martial arts school, and I remember this. He ran a martial arts school. And this guy, he took all comers. He was the guy, he ran the school, but anybody who came in, like before the UFC Ultimate Fighting Championship, before anybody who came and knocked on his door and said, yeah, you got a black belt, I can beat you. He said, come on, let's go. And, you know, it was And they would come in.
So this fearless that you have now.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I'm realizing there were some things from him that I got from. I mean, I got into martial arts. He was the most fit person I know. I mean, look at this. I mean, I'm fit. I'm 46. Yeah. You know, I just lift up my shirt.
Okay,
and people
he just
can't
showed us his abs.
I just showed my.
They were impressive.
My wife would laugh because she knows I'm just like, I'm just such a
maybe for the time. Picture later that we post, you could do that.
Oh, I laugh. Shout out to Jamestown, New York as well. You said I'm from Chicago. I am, but I was raised in Jamestown.
I said you're from Chicago.
Chicago. I was born in Chicago, but I have to give a shout out to Jamestown, New York, because that's where my grandmother, when she came and got us, that's where I was raised.
Oh, wow.
In Jamestown, New York. So I want to make sure I give a proper shout out to Jamestown, New York while I'm here.
Nice. Yeah. Okay. As we wipe tears,
I want
to go back to that and laugh at the same time. Amazing.
I want to go back to that for a second.
Yes, sir,
the abuse. I mean, that was the twist for me, because the to be in that moment of watching this go down and have relief for a moment until the rest of the story unfolded in front of your eyes.
Yeah, what a turn, what a twist to the story.
Well, it not only a turn and a twist, but it also shows the depth of pain that you were carrying, what you were living with moment to moment, and again, now what you've carried through till just recently.
Just recently, till 46. So I'll tell you something, it's really interesting. I remember that moment. I remember thinking at that moment, clearly, I should be really sad right now. I remember thinking this in my brain, like standing there looking at this and thinking, gosh, he was just killed. And I'm relieved. And yet, is there something wrong with me? Because I should be sad right now, but I wasn't. Mm. I really wasn't.
And the reason I'm tormented, pushing on this a little bit, is because, you know, there's a lot more people out there that can relate to that part of the story than the rest of the tragedy that you had to relive. And so the fact that you could even take that subset and choose happiness, much less the rest of your story. But, man, you're such an inspiration.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. I appreciate it. So, you know, let me get into some of the ways that I choose happiness. And let me give some people some pointers. Can I do that right now?
You can. And in an interesting sort of way, you already have. Mm. I have, and we will. I have to say that, you know, you're quote unquote, as you said, I'm just sharing right now. And the fact that I'm sharing, the fact that you're sharing, and in your sharing, you have affected millions, or at least hundreds of thousands of people. Mm. It's obviously the way you share your story and your interest in bringing across that you're here, and that you're this guy, and that is also part of your life. Yes, and hey, people, so you have this and you have this, but we're here
right here right now,
and people want to hear this story. I mean, I know the book's doing well, but you're traveling around sharing the message like you're this preacher man.
You know, it's really funny that you say that, because another thing I do is I do life insurance, as you know, Mark, and I have a lot of clients, and I sit down and they say, you know, because I talk to people about this type of thing when I'm doing life insurance, and you know, they've lost family members and so on and so forth, and they say, you're like a witness. You're like a witness, you know, you're witnessing, or, you know, this is your calling. This is your calling, you know, and as much as I love it, it's just like, it's another way to share the story. When I'm out there, you know, meeting people out in the field, I'm sharing the story in another way, you know, and so I'm touching them in that way as well. So thank you for saying that. Not quite a preacher, but maybe a witness.
We have a witness, and he is here in the studio with us. His name is Chappelle Burton, and in just a little bit, we'll get to talk more, and that's, you'll give us the nuts and bolts, you will, and I look forward to that right after this, and then we're going to hear from Alexa Mello. You're actually, I don't know if Mello is the right name for her last name. I mean, I know it's her name, but she is not going to be Mello. I just know it. She's going to blow the roof off of this place, her and her saxophonist and on the guitar. And I think I heard a ukulele during practice. So I'll have to ask her about that. That's or during soundcheck. That's going to be fun. All this here on the Life Changes Show right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Gary Zukav, and Kyle Cease on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and at Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
Yeah.
Okay. We're back. During the break, I was reading some of the things that people have been writing on our guest Chappelle Burton's Facebook page. And so two things came up. First thing is that somebody wrote, even back in grade school, actually it was Marcy Kitchell, wrote, even back in grade school, you were always an inspiration.
It's wonderful. Thank you for sharing that.
She goes on to say, you go chop. Mm-hmm. Now, a couple other people said, you know, go chop. And so should I be calling you Chop?
Oh, what's you can, Chop? No, you can. You can call me Chappelle.
You can call me Chappelle.
You know, that's really funny. That's my nickname. When I was younger, I didn't like my real name. You know, I wanted
really?
To be. Yeah, I wanted to be like Charles name. Or, you know, something, because it was a different name. And, you know, when you're young, you want to fit in more.
I want to call you Charles.
Yeah, no, please don't call me Charles now, brother. But it's kind of that type of thing. And then one of my friends, his name, good friend of mine, his name is Johnny Leeper. He said, well, your name is too long. I'm going to call you Chap. And I was like, nah, man, don't call me Chap. Call me Chop, because I just thought Chop sounded stronger. Yeah. And from that point on, boom, it stuck. And my nickname has been Chop from ever. And then when I was at Pitt, they would say, I would walk into a party at Pitt. Seriously, this is, anyone from Pitt can testify. I would go into a party at University of Pittsburgh, and they would say, Chop Chop's in the house. Chop Chop's in the house.
I'm going to get mileage out of this one.
I bet you if I scroll down a little more, I'm going to find someone that wrote Chop Chop's in the house. I just know it. Okay. So the book is How to Choose Happiness.
Yeah, most of the time.
Most of the time. Yeah. I love that part.
Yeah, man. You gotta have your
real.
Yeah, keep it real. You gotta have your moment for being upset and say, we're emotional. You are human beings, and I want to leave room for emotion. Just like you saw me crying just a moment ago. Yeah. I wasn't happy just then, and that's cool. You know, I like life, and I like the variety of it. And if you don't have those sad moments, sometimes you can't appreciate the happy ones. Do you understand where I'm coming from there?
Yes.
So I'm not one that's Mr. Happy Guy all the time. I'm not perfect. I have flaws and foibles, just like everyone else. I try to make that very clear. I had someone go on Facebook page and say, well, you're a motivational speaker. You shouldn't like Ultimate Fighting Champions. Well, I like Ultimate Fighting Championship. And I am a motivational speaker.
Live with it.
I don't really know what else to tell you, man. You know? So that's why it's most
Don't call me Charles.
Yeah, don't call me Charles. You know?
You say, Chop is leaving the house. So 30 ways in 30 days, the recipe and ingredients to stir up your own happiness.
Yeah.
So there are 30.
Yeah.
And is it something like you can do one a day kind of thing?
Yeah, it's a workbook, and it's a 30-day workbook. Okay. But I'm going to give you some stuff right now. Here's what I tell people.
Now, help me get rid of the dying swan thing.
Yeah, I'm gonna help you. I can't really help you get rid
Set
of that.
Set the swan free.
Yeah. You can hold on to the swan, brother.
Heal the swan. Yeah, you just making fun of me.
No. You spend a lot of time on that swan. That's your thing. And you may not look. I always say this. People say forgive and forget. I don't say forgive and forget. I say forgive and learn from. You know what I mean?
Okay.
You don't. I'm not trying to forget what happened to me. That's part of who I am. Part of my life. You know, it's not. I'm not trying to make it my identity, but it's. I'm not letting it go. It's part of my memories. It's part of my history. So, forgive and learn from.
And it's made you who you are.
It made me who I am. Right. You know. So forgive and learn from. But I'll tell you what. I'll just share with you. And this is not even in the book, but it's something that's come from. I've done a lot of interviews and talk shows, and you had to prepare for these things. And people ask you to kind of. Bring it down or bring it into a really small thing that people can remember. And so I'll tell you, I say the three S's. So if you want to be happy, you want to choose happiness, I come up with the three S's. And it's each day, if you just do something for yourself, something for your soul, and something for someone else, every day, that will put you in a great state. Now, when I say do something for self, I'm usually talking about your physical self, some sort of a physical activity, whether it's exercise, some sort of a yoga, some sort of a stretching, something for yourself.
It's not like eating a pizza
exactly.
or eat.
Okay. No, eating something healthy. I've been eating these. My Aunt Betty turned me on to these wonderful smoothies lately, you know, eating these nice, wonderful, healthy smoothies.
And it's an S.
Awesome.
Right. And it's an S. It's a smoothie. You know, it's an S, you know. So that's the first. That's the second S is do something for your soul. That usually has to do with reading an inspirational quote or meditation or walk in nature, listen to some inspirational music, something for your soul. And then it's very, very quite simple, doing something for someone else, some sort of a service. Helping another human being, even picking up trash off the street is something for someone else, for the rest of the global community. So three S's. The three S's. If you do that each day, you put yourself in just a certain mind state. And it's simple. It doesn't have to be these really big things that we think. Something for yourself, something for your soul, and something for someone else. You do that each day, and that is a great way to start choosing happiness. I promise you, because those are things I do on a daily basis for myself, my soul, and for someone else. And that's how I started out. And when you do that, I promise you, it'll change your state and put you in a better place.
I get it. And, you know, a lot of people might say, well, I do that. But when you actually make a point of
consciously doing it,
say it.
Awareness.
Yeah, you say it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're making a point of consciously doing it. Like random acts of, you know how much, some fun things to do. I'll give you some, I have fun with this stuff. Like, you know, if you see someone's meter about to expire and you got four quarters in your pocket, drop a quarter in there and you see the meter maid coming up or the meter man or coming up to put, drop a quarter in there. I mean, that'll make you feel so good.
And give him a hug.
Exactly. Give him a hug. You know, those type of things. Or buy someone a cup of coffee behind you. You're in Starbucks or wherever you go, wherever you get your coffee bean, I don't know, whatever your thing is. If you do coffee, I don't even drink coffee, but buy someone a cup of coffee behind you or whatever. I was in the bookstore the other day and I had a gift card. And I said, you know, random acts of kindness or whatever. And my gift card had a few bucks on it. And I said to the guy, leave this extra for whoever's the next person in line. He's like, I said, just something nice. He's like, oh, cool. Those types of things.
Oh, wow. You know, it's people get caught in their habit, right? I was thinking about this the other day. I was at the DMV and you know, everybody's in their own store and nobody's talking and everybody's waiting. And, you know, that's the way we go through life. We've been kind of programmed to you know, just look forward and go on our path and like we're all separate.
You're absolutely right.
To exercise those kind of muscles where you just start thinking automatically about people around you.
It happens.
It's a completely different way of being.
It is. And you smile. Even that, what you just said, Mark, is wonderful because that's the biggest, one of the biggest things you can do is just to smile at someone and say hello. I was walking through Trader Joe's one day and I had, and I just do fun stuff. I didn't have kids at the time. I was with my wife and I put a loaf of bananas on my head or a bunch of bananas, I guess it's called. I was just walking around with a bunch of bananas on my head in the store. We were walking around and my wife is like, she knows who I am.
Knows.
So, yeah. But the most wonderful.
Did she act like she didn't know who you were?
No, she'll just smile and just.
She started singing the chops in the house with bananas on.
Exactly. She'll just smile and keep on going. But the most wonderful thing is a lady walked up to me and she starts laughing and she said, you know, I needed that today. I needed that today.
Yeah.
And she thanked me and she smiled. She said, I was really having a bad day, but you just cheered me up.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, the other day we were out at
bananas.
We were out at Trader Joe's, me and my son, and I had gotten some masks and glasses, funny glasses, yeah. And that we decided to put them on before we went into the shop.
Awesome.
I knew he was going to have a good time. Exactly. I knew we were going to have a good time. What I didn't think ahead about was how much everybody else in the store had a good time.
Exactly.
Yeah. Just how you can affect people. You just can. Something so small.
But it's a ripple, though. That's the thing. That ripple goes on, and you don't know if you've saved someone's life. And I'm taking it a whole nother level. But
truly.
The lady, she was saying, she was like, I was really depressed. I was really down today. And you made me smile. And I really needed that. Now I'm taking it to a whole nother level, but you don't know what a smile can do, or a hello, or a kind word. So do it anyway. It doesn't. And it helps you. It helps your heart and your soul.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it doesn't even have to be as dramatic as the lady was going to go out and kill somebody or something. But being depressed, I mean, we know depression can lead to car accidents.
Exactly.
You know, so,
ripple effect.
Right. It's not just like
fights.
Right.
Abuse.
Exactly.
Right?
So why not be a positive ripple? Why not
be?
I mean, I do. My wife, she puts up with me, and I love her so much because she's, you know, it's wonderful when you find someone who loves you for exactly who you are.
Isn't it?
It is. I do things like, and it's just, and just for my own entertainment sometimes. Like I borrowed a buddy of mine, Mustafa Effortless. He has this super big Afro wig. I actually own one now. It's like this big. And me and my wife, we have a date night.
I think we know
him,
right?
He was a guest. He's one of the best.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great. That's my boy.
Yeah.
Mustafa Everless.
We have to give another shout out.
Mustafa Everless. Shout out to Mustafa Everless. That is my boy. We were friends in New York, and we're friends out here.
Nice.
So I was borrowing his Afro wig, and it's so great. And my wife and I, we have a date night every, once a week. We have a date night, which is a wonderful thing. And we were going on a date night, and I met Mustafa because I needed the wig for something else, for an event I was going to. And I picked it up from him. But me and my wife were going on a date night. And I put the wig on and wore the wig. And we were at the Grove. I'm walking around everywhere with this wig
on.
I would
love to see that.
And my wife is just with me, just hanging.
Well, you're going to, because Mustafa, I'm going to borrow that wig.
It's huge, man. So anyway, those type of things. And it's just fun.
When we do our next live event and when you're part of it.
Oh, yeah. I actually bought my own now. I actually own one.
Oh,
yeah. I had to. It's not even a problem. I actually own one now because I loved his. I gave his back to him, and I purchased my own Afro wig, and it's huge. And I love it. Just fun. Why not?
Like Diana Ross huge?
Like Diana Ross huge. No, I'm not joking. You go on my Facebook page. Check it out. Scroll down on my Facebook page, and you'll see.
So step number four, choosing how to choose happiness.
It's not fun, really. It is.
Yeah. Is wigs in one of the 30?
You know what it is? Whatever works for you. It's just having fun. Play.
Yeah.
It's just play. You know what I mean? I'm a big kid and, I'm serious and I take care of business, but you know what? Why not play and have fun? So I do those type of things and it cheers people up and I have a good time doing it. I'm just doing it for fun.
And everybody else does too. Oh, your kids must just.
Oh, I love them. They're so wonderful. Sebastian and Rulani, if you're listening, I love you so much.
That's beautiful. Thank you for that.
Yes, sir.
And that's healing for all. That goes out. Everybody feels that. We haven't given a website for you, because we didn't have one, but we do know that you're a Positively Positive author and that you're listed on there. And now you're listed on our website. And of course, your book is listed on Amazon. And the book is How to Choose Happiness Most. Actually, I think on Amazon, it's like Most Time. I think that's how it's listed. But it is Most of the Time is the whole title.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, but if people just go to lifechangesnetwork.com or lifechangesshow.com, we've got Chappelle's whole bio there and then links. And then as he gives us more links, we'll put them up. And
awesome.
You want to send us a picture of you in the wig? We'll put that up too. But other than that, definitely you can get the book there. And you could also find him at Positively Positive. How do people find you for when you go around speaking?
I have another website called MondaySmiles.com.
Oh.
Monday Smiles, www.MondaySmiles.com. But we're changing it. That's why I haven't really promoted that so much. So
when you change it to whatever it is?
I'll let you guys know as well.
You know, there's a song that goes Monday, Tuesday, happy days.
Yeah.
Wednesday, Thursday, happy
days. Friday, Saturday, happy days. Oh, I know that.
You heard that too?
Well, of course I do.
Uh-huh.
Of course. We're all about the same age, guys. Yes.
Well, this is a happy day.
Yeah.
And thank you for making it so. even in light of everything that you shared.
Thank you.
Especially in light of everything that you shared.
Oh, absolutely. You guys are so much fun, and thank you for having me. I really appreciate it today.
Thank you for being here.
We got more to come. Thank you. Yes. Can you hang with us?
I'm here to stay.
Great then. Okay. And so because when we come back, we're going to hear Alexa Mello live here at Studio NoHo on the Life Changes show right after this.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@LifeChangesNetwork.com.
We are back, and we have the beautiful and very engaging Alexa Mello in the studio with us, and actually a couple of her musicians, and a ukulele. Is that what it is, or no?
I mean, I say ukulele because I'm from
America.
Well, I'm from Boston, but people who live in Hawaii say ukulele, and they like to correct me, but
okay.
I don't feel right saying ukulele because it is some. Doesn't come out right coming out of my mouth.
Well, I'm sure it's going to sound right. And I just haven't seen one here in the studio before. So that's the first. But most importantly, welcome, Alexa.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for being here. We, of course, want to give a shout out to Andrew Keegan and Full Circle because that's where we first saw you perform. And we were mesmerized. And it's funny because you're walking throughout the whole place and then, you know, and then you got up on stage and blew everybody away. And is that something that you have been doing for years? I mean, you're only 20 years old, so.
Well, I've been singing since I was 6 years old. I was always singing and acting and doing musical theater and stuff like that. But then when I turned 13, I picked up a guitar and started writing music. And at 14, I started producing music and playing a bunch of other instruments to accommodate the recordings.
Like on GarageBand, right, or something? Or
well, GarageBand when I was 12, and then
okay.
I didn't really consider it real until I got Pro Tools when I was 14, and then it became actual.
Oh, sure.
Then it got real.
You
got
to get Pro Tools. Oh, man, that's
I was because I didn't have a microphone, so I was recording audio into my laptop speaker, so everything was just terrible and clipping. It didn't make any sense.
Oh, so you say. and an interesting part of the story, which, I have to ask you when you were signed to a huge record label, wasn't that like at that time you thought that was like the most exciting thing, or did you not want, I mean, what was that like?
Well, at 14 years old, I was shopped to several labels. I got noticed by this big manager dude. That was his real name. And he just showed me off to a bunch of labels. And of course, everybody got excited because I was 14-year-old brunette Taylor Swift. And they had money in their eyes. And there was a small bidding war. And I ended up going with a large record label that I will not name today.
Right.
And of course, it was the most exciting thing ever. Of course, when you're 14 years old and you've been singing since you were 6 and you moved to California when you're 10 and you're working your ass off in your mind, what you think it's working your ass off, for that long, you're like, finally, my big break, you know?
Mm.
But in reality, there was a lot more time and learning that needed to happen because, of course, getting signed when I was 14, I didn't know what I was signing. I didn't know what I wanted. So once the papers were signed, because all of my elders and people on my team told me it was the thing to do, the right place to be, I had a lawyer that read it for me, was like, this is the best decision you can make. Of course, I'm not going to argue. I'm 14. I'm going to be like, Mr. Lawyer Guy. Like,
and that was his
real
name.
Let me read this. So I signed it, and from almost immediately after I did, I realized it was a bad choice.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, as I got older, am I supposed to talk this long?
You're doing great.
Oh, okay.
This is fascinating.
You asked me one question.
I don't know what you're supposed to do anymore. Just do it.
No.
So in other words, what seemed exciting at the time, and this is exactly what Chappelle is talking about, is that, well, it was actually the reverse for him. But so here's something that seemed good, ended up not being so.
Of course. And that's, for some reason, a very, very common story in the music industry. It's a lot of hype. It's a lot of promises. And as I got older and progressed as a musician and as a person and as a woman, as a writer, I started to really want to explore all kinds of musical avenues that weren't, I guess, accessible in the eyes of the label. So as I started producing my own music, I wanted to be Bjork. I wanted to be Radiohead. I wanted to be Jack White. I wanted to be a mixture of all these things. And as I started to grab influences from those artists...
And you wanted to be you.
Yeah.
Hello.
But as I started to grab influences from those artists, it was the label became more and more upset with me and my team because I wasn't being quote-unquote controlled and I needed to learn to comply. And their number one goal was to get me to not write my own music anymore.
Wow.
Because they wanted other people to do it because I had been singing for so long. Because I mean, so they knew that I could, quote unquote, sing anything, whatever. So they just were like, you know, if we write a perfectly good pop song for her, she'll sing it and then it'll be successful because, hello, the song will be successful. I'm like, what about the longevity of my career? What about space for me to grow as a person and as an artist? And they obviously were interested in that, and that's when the conflicts begin.
Reminds me of that line in Pink Song. All you have to do is change everything you are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, I was in the same circle.
Yeah.
It's Pink.
Yeah, speaking of, right? So I know that there was a big battle and other lawyers and da-da-da. And you are now your own artist.
Yeah. Things had to get much worse before they got better. Of course, I created and my debut album that's now available online.
Was just released a little over a month ago. Yay! Congratulations.
Yay, thank you. All right. I made that actually while I was still signed to present to the label. Can you cuss? Can I cuss on here or no?
No.
Okay. I should have asked that.
We get the idea, though.
Because there's a cuss in the song. Enter, now I know.
Well, you can, but...
All right.
Enter expletive. Okay. So...
I mean, as... I forgot my train of thought, but it's okay. I'm sorry.
So, you just released an album.
Yes.
And so you're your own artist now, mm-hmm. and this is your music.
Yes.
And you're out there, and it's getting good radio, really good radio play already.
Yeah, I think I think good radio plays any radio play at all. I never thought that I'd be able to be heard on the radio. So it's a
well, keep thinking bigger.
Yeah, I think so. Well, this is exciting. So what are we going to hear first?
A song called Demoted. It's on the record.
Okay.
I got my usual bass player, Blake Runyon, here. He doesn't have his bass with him today because this is an acoustic set, and so he's just going to do some backgrounds, and I got Andy in the next room, Andy Satura, on saxophone.
Excellent. And we're going to hear... what's the album called, by the way?
It's called Alexa Mellow.
Oh, right. Okay.
I couldn't think of a good name. Like, that's honest truth about
your
that
name
title.
Name is a great name. And the
Thanks.
Song is...
Demoted.
Wow. Okay. This is going to be powerful, I'm sure. Here's Alexa Mello and Demoted from her album, Alexa Mello, on the Life Changes show.
You know me well, I cringe at the thought of your blood, still embedded beneath my nails. Still fresh on your lips, taste of skin, words so thick with contradictions. And 2 weeks later, you're non-existent.
Alexa right. Mello.
Unbelievable.
Wow. Thank you. Well, like Chip Halberton, we do have all of Alexa's links on our website at lifechangesshow.com. If you just went to Alexa Mello in our subject line, or you saw her picture is going to be up there for quite a while. There's her website. There's her Facebook page. There's her Instagram, SoundCloud, Twitter. It's all there. So do go. But you can also go directly to alexamello.com, and Alexa, A-L-E-X-A-M-E-L-O.com. You are so expressive.
Thanks.
I'd love to hear a song from, not now, but from 6 years old. I mean, like, what were you singing about at six?
I was not writing, so I was singing torch songs.
Torch songs, of course.
Yeah, lots of, like, really bluesy, jazzy torch songs.
Wow.
That's why my mom thought, my mom's not a musician, and she doesn't have, her music taste is pop. So her thing was that she thought it was really funny to make me wear a boa and have me sing really sad torch songs as a six-year-old and like make me growl and shimmy. So so that's how I learned to love like jazz and old school like R&B and Motown and that and blues was like a joke. Started out as a joke. So
really now this actually could be, this could be like a modern torch song. What you just sang, right?
It is very torchy. That's true. Is that an adjective?
It is now. Can we say that on the air, torchy? It's torchery, actually, too. I mean,
sure.
Wow.
That's no joke.
I hope this is, I mean, is this personal experience or are you kind of like, you know, you saw this in a movie or something?
I have a really hard time writing from another person's perspective, which sucks when I'm going through nothing, you know, and I need to write.
Oh, no.
So I try to write about, like, things that I saw on the news, but, like, I can't.
So you, like, what, put yourself out there and say, okay, drama, come get me, I need a song?
Honestly,
what do you do?
I do think that's a part of, that used to be a big part of my life, is that I would create problems for myself.
I feel that.
So you're going to have to invent a whole new category. Torch.
The person that this song is about, I think that I dated him specifically to have to go through some crap. I'm serious.
But you're a strong person, though. So somehow you put in a song and then you're fine.
Yeah. I'm saying it's therapy. Like, I'm telling you, like, I wrote like 10 songs about this experience, and then after it was done, I had written the best material I ever had written. I've written hundreds of songs, and these are the only songs that I actually like that I've ever written. So I cannot look back on that experience and be like, you know, screw him. You know, I'm like, he comes to my shows. And when I see him, I'm like, hey, like,
thank you.
We're friends because you contributed immensely to my life.
You jerk.
You jerk.
Okay. So what are we getting?
That might be the next album.
Thanks, jerk.
That's a song, I'm telling you. So what are we going to hear next? And now here comes the ukulele.
Yeah.
And so, come on. I mean, you're 20 years old. Who, and beautiful and sexy. Who picks up a ukulele?
Everybody who's a hipster in
2012. Oh, really? Oh, I guess I didn't know.
I did pick it up in 2008, but the reason being is like
And everybody followed you in 2012.
Yeah, that's the thing. Followers. I started playing guitar and then I thought to myself,
I love her.
How many instruments can I learn to play with like the skills of guitar? Because I got like high off the idea that I could now play an instrument because I was playing badly the keyboard for my whole childhood. And then when I picked up the guitar and I actually learned to do it, I was like, what else can I do? And ukulele was a thing of like, you actually don't know how, you don't have to learn how to play ukulele. You just learn how to play guitar and use all the same shapes.
So you also play banjo and a slide?
I bought a banjo.
Oh my God.
And it just wasn't my thing because it's a lot of single noted soloing stuff. And also it's like the sound of it doesn't work with me at all.
Okay.
But I did buy a banjo. And I play bass, kind of. I can't say that in front of you because you're a great bass player.
Yeah, and who is he again, by the way?
His name is Blake Runyon.
Man, when he was hitting some of those notes above you, I'm like,
he can
who
sing
is
higher
this guy?
Than
I mean, I heard it. And the sax player that we stuck in the other room because he was so loud? What was his name?
Andy Satura.
Or what was his name? Like, he doesn't exist anymore because he's in the other room. So what is his name? All right, so what are we going to hear now?
It's a song called Under Your Skin.
Of course. Mm. Oh, no. Duh. This isn't the one. Wait, is this the one you let me in, but you never let me out?
No, that's called Still Right Here, and that's tough to do acoustic.
Oh,
it's
sure.
Very electric.
Amazing, great song.
Thank you.
Clever lyrics. So people have to go. I think it's, is it still on your homepage?
It should be. The music video is on my homepage of my my website.
And what's that called?
Still Right Here.
Still Right Here. Another Torchy song.
You think so? Okay.
You let me under your skin. You let me in, but you never let me out.
It sucks because the lyric "under your skin" exists somewhere in that song. I think it's in the second verse, and then it's both on the same album. And I hate it when people do that, but I did it.
See, well. So yeah. So anyway, okay. So I picked up on it. What can I say? I'm a musician. So all right. But it's a song. I mean, it's a song. It's you know, hey.
It's under your skin.
It gets under your skin. Well, like Chappelle was saying, you know, there are times when you just go, you know, I need to hear one of these songs. Yeah. I need it today. Yeah. Right? There are days when you need to laugh and days when you need to listen to one of these songs. And here's another one. And this one's called Under Your Skin?
Yes.
Under Your Skin. Mm-hmm. Okay. Here is Alexa Mello singing Under Your Skin on the Life Changes Show.
Beautiful.
Alexa Mello here on the Life Changes Show live.
Wow.
You know, how she can make me like a song like that. I mean, it's a great song, and she's like, you know, you're killing me softly with her ukulele. I mean, it's just, I love Alexa Mello. Wow.
Hey,
I love you. I mean, my God.
Just got a new fan here. Yes. Just got a new fan here.
Well, this went well.
I would say it did. Yeah. I would say it did. Alexa, thank you so much. You're brilliant.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Brilliant. Thank you for coming and bringing your band. It's wonderful to have you and your music. Everybody can go to alexamello.com or lifechangesshow.com and find Alexa Mello there, M-E-L-O. Chappelle Burton, thank you so much. What a story. I mean, to be able to start where we started and end where we ended, and there was a little mix of everything in between. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Mm-hmm. I loved the show. I want to thank Dorothy Donahue, our executive producer, Doug Newsom at BBS Radio, Brent Hahn here at Studio NoHo, Mark Legere, our producer, and I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you all that as your life changes, as ours just did just now, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.